all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Real information. Good conversation. Unabashedly Wisconsin. Here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Welcome back to the second hour of Up North News Radio. It's a Tuesday, December 6th. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Aaron Zomers is here as well. Bucks beat Orlando in Florida last night, 109-102. They will host Sacramento tomorrow. I have a list of things each morning coming in that I anticipate talking about, hope to talk about, maybe get around to. And then, you know, actual news breaks out from time to time or something gets posted and I have to change the plan. And a lot of times when I have to change the plan, it comes with a sigh, as it does this time around, because of a story posted to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel website about an hour ago, it seems here. And just say, okay, well, here we go. The headline says, with Republicans in the Senate minority, Ron Johnson says he'll coordinate with the House on investigations. So here we are. Ron Johnson had been hoping to be in the Senate majority, at which point he compared himself to a mosquito in a nudist colony when it came to all of the investigations he was going to be launching. Well, that doesn't get to happen for him on the Senate side anyway. He will not be the chair of the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee, their permanent subcommittee on investigations, the thing that lets Ron Johnson follow in the footsteps of Wisconsin's other notorious conspiracy theorist, Joseph McCarthy. Okay, he won't chair or lead those, but because Republicans, through gerrymandering, narrowly won control of the House of Representatives, there will be investigations on the House side, and Ron Johnson says that while he won't have a committee gavel, he will probably be able to provide greater focus by working with the Democrats, or the Republicans, rather, over on the House side to work on the various investigations. Sweeping investigations like Hunter Biden's laptop, whether vaccines are effective, alleged malfeasance within the FBI because they warned Ron Johnson not to be a stooge for Russian disinformation. Apparently, preparations for these inquiries have already begun, according to the article. Johnson recently met with a group of House Republicans that include Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan, who is going to chair the House Judiciary Committee. And I cannot believe I'm saying that about somebody so reprehensible. And a Kentucky Republican who will chair the House Oversight Committee. So again, they will be looking into Hunter Biden. Johnson says he's going to look into how the U.S. miserably failed in its response to COVID, raising conspiracy theories about Dr. Anthony Fauci. Fauci's already responded that, again, if we're talking about did the virus come from a lab or from a marketplace, Fauci said we can only give you the information we can confirm because anything else would be, guess what, conspiracy theory. But, of course, expect them to, you know, try to paint Fauci as somehow being the leader of this conspiracy when the real crime, and I do mean crime, was done by Ron Johnson and others who were so criminally negligent in the way that they essentially obstructed this nation's efforts to prevent people from dying from COVID-19. And again, in a perhaps in a more just world or perhaps in a more partisan world, these past 2 years would have featured more investigations about that and maybe more consequences about that. But we were spending most of the time trying to figure out, you know, everything behind the January 6th attack on this Congress. So our hands have been a little busy the past couple of years, but certainly the people who should be taken to account for their miserable actions during the pandemic have not been properly investigated and instead will be investigating the people who were actually trying to save lives. And then, speaking of House Republicans having control of things, you're going to be hearing so much from Glenn Grothman and Tom Tiffany. From Grothman, it's going to be all about, you know, people at the Mexican border. from Tiffany and from Brian Style. It's going to be China, China, China. Actually, Tiffany finds time to do both. He can go after poor immigrants who are trying to escape violence. He can go after China. Anything that distracts from the failure of doing what they said they were going to do when they ran. They were going to take on inflation. They were going to take on crime. They were going to come up with a big, beautiful replacement for the Affordable Care Act. And none of that happened the last time they were in charge, and it won't happen this time. There isn't a plan on crime other than, denigrating all people who want to come to this country as potential criminals, when the crime is actually happening in the here and now, and by and large by the people right around us right now. But it's a lot better, it's a lot easier to demonize the people who don't look like you and the people who aren't from here. And that's what we're going to expect to see from Republicans in the House. And now what we're going to be getting from Ron Johnson coordinating with those House Republicans as he serves in the minority over in the Senate. Coming up next, we have a couple of guests from Polk County who have been working with the Wisconsin Ethics Commission to potentially take action against the Republican Party of Polk County for failure to report some of the ways that they were engaged in what are supposed to be nonpartisan spring elections for county board seats. We'll get the details on that and remind ourselves that county Republican parties in the state have also been involved in helping the Trump campaign get around contribution limits to somebody that was challenging Robin Voss. That's all next on Up North News Radio. This is Up North News Radio for a Tuesday morning. I'm Pat Quitelow, and I'm joined now by Nancy Beck from Polk County. Nancy and Lisa Doerr helped tip us off to potential Wisconsin Ethics Commission action being taken against one of the county Republican parties in the state based on donations and expenses on what should be nonpartisan races, which in and of themselves is not wrong. It's about being transparent about them. And that's only, the latest instance we are aware of where county parties either need to be very careful about being transparent or are just engaged in efforts to, get around contribution limits and things like that. So Nancy joins us now. Nancy, good morning. Thank you for being here.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Our pleasure. Thank you again. Now, the Wisconsin Ethics Commission is going to be taking up this matter a week from today. And I think Lisa on the other line here. Lisa, are you with us too? Lisa, I've actually got you on the Zoom and on the phone, it looks like. Oh, there you are on Zoom, so I can see you now. You want to say good morning? Oh, you're trying to talk through the phone. Okay, we'll get you on there.
Right, we should be good now.
Okay, should be, but there we go, Lisa. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for getting us out of bed this morning. I appreciate it.
No problem. Nice to have you here. So, Nancy, let's start with you. And what is it that the Wisconsin Ethics Commission is being asked to look at from the Republican Party of Polk County about the 2022 county board elections?
Well, both Lisa and I were candidates for our districts for the, as you said, the nonpartisan election in April of this year. And, you run for these races because you want to serve your county and help take care of the government. And we ended up to being targets of this smear campaign. Just days before the election, there was a very nasty letter that was sent out by the Polk County Republicans. And it was sent to just seven districts of who had were running against an incumbent known Republican. And we had not been interviewed, notified anything, any of us about this letter. And then shortly before the election, this letter comes in the mail. And so we were waiting to see then in the July reports that everyone had to supply as what our campaign expenses and donations were. And that letter was not listed as any of their expenses. So Lisa and I filed a complaint on September 20th, and it was accepted right away. And it was an incomplete finance report is what we reported. And within a few days, then we found out later that the Republicans had amended that report. And now the report included about $7,500 of both donations and expenses that had not been reported earlier. And also the $2,000 of that came from Adam Jarkow, who is well known in our area. He was our representative. He's run for other races, and he's well known in the Republican Party. So now I'd say,
well known is one thing. Well liked is another thing altogether. He failed in his primary bid to become attorney general, and he's quick to point out or to throw darts on Twitter, but you know, he did the other day about student loans getting paid back when it was immediately pointed out that he had received PPP loans, which were forgiven. So he was hardly in a position to lecture others. And so when I saw that Jarkow was probably involved in this, I have to say it was not a big surprise that he was a major funder of these smear letters, which, looking at them, Lisa, let me turn to you, because I just want to read a little bit from the letter that says, again, this is the Republican letter that was not disclosed right away. And it went to voters saying, there is a group of radical activists who have organized in our area. The goal of this group is to take control of the future of Polk County, impose their extremist agenda, and make no mistake, it says in bold letters, they want to turn Polk County into Minneapolis. Lisa, what did you think when you first saw a letter like that? And what was your response to that kind of language?
Well, I got to tell you, Mr. Jarkow is very well known here, and it has his fingerprints all over it. And I felt heartbroken because I represent, when in my campaign, I had a lot of Republicans supporting me. We have a big battle here because the pork industry wants to colonize northern Wisconsin and put giant hog factories all over this area. And Jarkow has been fighting us on that. You know, Jarkow passed legislation so that the real estate industry can build houses right on the shoreline. You know, they call them bunk houses. He's gotten tens of thousands of dollars from the real estate industry. So I felt like, oh, there's Jarkow all over. And then I was really sad and mad because my husband has been a law enforcement officer. You know, he was a law enforcement officer for almost a decade. And these guys accused us of hating cops. And then I had to chuckle a little bit because they said we also passed around pictures of a pig in a police car. And I mean, the letter is so ridiculous. I didn't know what to feel. I really felt violated.
It really was. I mean, this letter is a masterclass in cynical politics. You have to say that much about, you know, Jarkow and the Republicans, is that this is supposed to be local politics at its best, neighbors who want to serve their community. And this is something ripped right out of a national playbook about taking away Second Amendment rights, closing family farms. And then, of course, in bold letters and underlined that talk about how we need to support our brave men and women in law enforcement. And then their next point is keep government spending under control, which, by the way, that kind of control is what's actually defunding law enforcement. But again, if they can spread fear and, you know, mislead people about, you know, who's got what agenda, it works. It is, you know, Nancy, it's crass politics at its finest. And I put finest in quotation marks. And do you feel like that made a difference in these races?
I do. This was the first time I had ran, and there were several of us that it was the first time. And I had recently moved into this district, and we had also been redistricted throughout Polk County. So several of the lines had been changed. So people that knew me maybe in our old district didn't know me as well now. And then you get this, you know, you get this letter, you don't know what to think. And of course, it was only a few days before the election, so we didn't have time to counter anything. There wasn't time to really respond to it very well. And so, you know, I don't, and I only lost by 16 votes. So yes, there's the potential there.
Wow. That,
you know, that something did make a difference there. And I believe that with some of the other candidates that maybe weren't as well known, that, that yes, you get that. And then you don't know what to think.
Wow. That is something, especially when you consider that, again, they talk about protecting family farms, and yet we're going to talk in our next segment about how these corporate mega farms in Kewaunee County with thousands of animals, how much manure is getting dumped into the waters there. And yet, if you were to advocate for the environment, if you're to advocate for clean water, then you're painted as being against farming. But as you said, what they want to do is bring in, you know, these mega farms instead. And so, Lisa, you learned about the donations, the expenses, the letters, and so now it's going to the Wisconsin Ethics Commission. Reasonably, can anything come of that, or is it more about bringing attention to what it is that the Polk County Republican Party did?
Well, we're hoping that we find out why they didn't report this. One of the candidates who they were supporting, his wife is the treasurer of the Polk County Republicans. So we want to know why they didn't do it. So that's my goal, is to find out why. I got to tell you, Pat, if you're talking hog farms, hog factories, you got to do another session where you talk about what's going on in Polk and Burnett County, because we're just looking at one of the most important lawsuits in state history on that issue. But I have to differentiate JARCO Republicans from the Republicans who support me, because I had Republicans call me up crying when they got this letter, because they know me and they know that I don't hate cops and that I love my community. And so you really do need to separate. JARCO is a different breed.
Oh, very much so. And it's funny when, you know, the letter says that you want to turn Polk County into Minneapolis. Obviously they have different connotations, which, you know, aren't just dog whistles. They're foghorns, when in fact it's the other way around. What they're doing is taking a place like Polk County and turning it into a big city with its big, you know, with its machine politics, with, you know, the ends justify the means, even if they've got to smear good people running for office. And this is where I want to remind people that this is not an isolated thing. A couple of weeks back, we passed along the story about how Florence and Langlade County Republican parties were being used by the Trump campaign to help get around campaign contribution limits and funnel money to the person who was challenging Robin Voss in the August primary. And so county parties, Democrat or Republican, they do have rules they have to play by. They do have disclosures that they have to make. And, you know, if they're looking for ways around it, there's a pretty fair chance they can be caught, but only if people like you are meticulous enough to follow up on this. Because I would imagine, Nancy, that, you know, this isn't about the partisan designation, but your county parties are going to be active one way or another. So I would think it would be preferable to follow the rules when you do.
Yep, you would think so. That's why we can't quite understand why they take this risk. You know, it's not a huge amount of money, of course, but they clearly did not follow the rules that they should have known very clearly. And I do want to add, you know, when you were saying that about how damaging this could be, this isn't national politics. This letter went to my friends, my relatives, our families, co-workers, and so many, anybody that knew any of these candidates knew that these things were totally false. But it's very damaging to how people then can come together on our boards and work together when we have been divided before we even start. So it does have deep implications for relationships and how we can make our counties better. It just, we deserve better than these tactics is what I feel in our such local elections.
Oh, without a doubt. And I don't mean to put you on the spot, but what has this whole experience made you less likely to want to stay active and maybe even run for office in the future? Or has it kind of emboldened you to want to do more from a public service standpoint, Nancy?
I probably more, maybe not in office. You know, some of us think that maybe we need to be doing this behind the scenes and actually watching what's happening, because things are changing. On our school boards, our trustees, you know, I've lived in Polk County almost my whole life, and I really did not expect to see such division on our very local boards. I thought that we always would overcome these politics and be able to do what's best for our little area. And that's not happening anymore. And that makes me very sad.
No, it's not. And I got a thumbs up I see from Lisa as well. So Lisa, I appreciate both of you so much coming on, telling us about it. I hope you'll come back and keep us updated on how things are going there. Thanks again for being here this morning.
Thanks, Pat, very much for having us.
Thanks, Pat.
You bet. Good to talk to you both. And again, we will follow what's happening here in Polk County and with other county parties as well, because again, we talk about state and national issues, but politics close to home has to follow the rules as well. More after this. This is Up North News Radio.
Follow Up North News with our daily newsletter. Go to our website, upnorthnewswi.com, and click newsletter on the top banner. Once again, here's Pat Kreitlow.
This is the 102nd anniversary of the birth of Dave Brubeck, jazz pioneer, born on this day 102 years ago. He died 10 years ago, just before his 92nd birthday. And of course, Take Five is the signature hit that he had and paved the way for many others and for many admirers over the years. So we wanted to make note of that through music this time around. All right, so we were talking in the last segment about Polk County, and that one of the issues there and in some of the adjoining areas is how there are some who want to start large-scale hog operations. And it kind of dovetails into a story that was put up in the Journal Sentinel yesterday afternoon about how a Kewaunee County dairy farmer and a manure hauler have been charged with filing fraudulent documents and allowing so much manure to flow into nearby tributaries to Lake Michigan, that the levels of bacteria reached more than 400 times the allowable state limit. And I'll get to the details in just a second here, but I'm going to preface this again with the way I did at the top of the show. There was a real movement, I don't know, maybe 20, 25 years ago, called the Freedom to Farm movement. And again, much like law enforcement, these are easy groups to hide behind if your intentions aren't really that pure. If you're the one actually defunding the police through budget cuts, you're going to hide behind law enforcement and say, you should be backing our men and women in uniform. And sometime back when Republicans were trying to launch an assault on, you know, water quality rules, it was about freedom to farm and that any attack on, pollution was an attack on farming. And the phrase I used then and I continue to use today is, I mean, there's nothing wrong with freedom to farm, but freedom to farm is not the same as freedom to pollute. That the two are not synonymous. It doesn't mean farms have zero pollution, of course not. But it also means you don't get a blank check to just dump whatever, wherever. It doesn't work that way. So the Journal Sentinel story notes that the owner of, I believe it's Wacker Dairy and Stadola Ag Transport and a crop consultant were charged with 8 counts of conspiracy to commit a crime, fraudulent writing and discharging pollutants into waters of the state after spreading millions of gallons of manure from the farm on surrounding lands. So much manure was spread that tributaries leading to Lake Michigan had E. coli readings hundreds of times higher than the levels that would result in the closure of beaches, you know, for example, because of dirty water. The DNR had investigated several reports of manure discharges by Wacker Dairy between 2017 and 2020. And this is where you again hear the term CAFOs. If you're not familiar with that, CAFO is just another way of saying mega farm. It stands for concentrated animal feeding operations. And that's because all of that concentrated feeding, meaning you're feeding a bunch of animals in a small space, that's going to generate a lot of manure, which, by the way, you may hear that referred to as nutrients, because there are nutrients in the manure. And, you know, much like your lawn fertilizer, too much nutrient is a bad thing, runs off and pollutes the water. In 2019, the article says the farm had too much manure stored in its holding facilities and began applying the manure to fields despite the fact that recent rains had saturated the ground in the area, increasing the likelihood of manure running into nearby bodies of water. Instead of spreading the manure, the farm could have paid to have it stored elsewhere, but chose not to, and so Wacker Farms hired Stadola to do the spreading, and then they falsified documents to cover up the over-application, resulting in 3 million gallons of unaccounted for manure being spread. So again, you can read more about that there, but you know, Kewaunee County is home to a number of CAFOs or factory farms, and it's been struggling with agriculture pollution for years. This is, of course, the way that farming has been going for decades into larger and larger operations. You don't have the family farms that we used to. I've said repeatedly, I am married to a dairy farm girl from Manitowoc County, where every morning, she was the oldest of six, every morning at 5 a.m., they would go milk 72 cows. They would get on the school bus. When they got home, they'd get off the school bus, and they would milk 72 cows and have dinner. You're seeing less and less of that, of course, all the time. Wisconsin can still be a leading agricultural state. Wisconsin can still have larger operations. It's just that you can't just do that. You can't just put 1,000 cows or 8,000 cows in one area and handle it the same way you would if there were 72. You're a factory farm now. You're a factory. Factories need permits because they chug out so much more pollution than a household. It's why you have the rules, why you have the standards, why you have the permits. So if you're going to put thousands of cows in one on one piece of land, basically, you'd better have a really good management plan because you're going to need so much more land on which to spread the manure. And you can probably find that, but then once you find it, you've got to get it there. And any of us who've been around some factory farms have been on roads that are just littered with manure because the loads either weren't properly covered or stored or transported. And again, that's what the rules are for. Anytime you hear about, oh, we've got to cut back on regulations, we've got to cut the red tape, what it often is it's being an apologist for pollution. And in this case, the pollution from manure that can do serious harm to our drinking water. So I know that there are some who will disagree with me. I absolutely understand people who say we shouldn't even permit farms of a certain size. And I think that is a very, very fair argument. The argument that I would make in return, mostly for the sake of discussion, is if there is a point at which a larger farm can operate, can have a management plan and operate safely, then it's something we should look at. Much like, say, mining. We had a perfectly good mining rule here. You can mine in Wisconsin as soon as you show us you've actually done it someplace else, and that for 10 years afterwards, there was no pollution. That seems perfectly fair to have. And the same can be said with other industries as well. Tom joins us now next to talk more about this farm issue. Tom, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. Second, my dad, Peter Adler, you may have known him. He was on the county board in Pepin County Board for 35 years. And, you know, he said at one of the public outings is that Republicans say that they want local control. They talk about how it is they want things to be locally taken care of, closest to the government. However, when the state is who walks in and comes in when it comes to the CAFOs. So you got these people, these big legislatures and these big people coming either from corporations or from the state government coming to these local communities and putting these CAFOs in their places. That's not very Republican if you want to talk about local control, because that local control is out the window when it comes to CAFOs. And I hope that, you know, people on the Republican side of the aisle see that is not a so-called Republican way of, you know, having big government come again, once again, into the lives of people in the rural area. So true.
I appreciate that, Tom. Thank you for the point. And it raises this interesting observation. And again, I don't know why I feel like I'm feel like antagonizing other Democrats and progressives today, but I'm going to. Let me put out this premise that Republican voters, some Republican voters and some Republican politicians are actually the last line of defense in so many areas. When we talk about, we've talked about it with Trump, for example, things aren't going to get better just when, you know, already Democratic voters show up. Things get better when enough Republicans say that's enough of this guy. Similarly, Tom's point is spot on, and I would just take it to the next extent. A lot of these rural counties are currently under Republican control. They weren't always. A lot of them were Democratic for decades, but pendulums, you know, swing back and forth, and right now they're under Republican control. And it's going to take those Republican county board members, but even more important to Tom's point, it's going to take those Republican legislators. Certainly not all of them. Some of them are going to be sycophants forever to WMC and all the rest. But it's going to take a couple of them to stand up and say, hold on. You can't do this with the groundwater in my county. I'm all for, here it comes, freedom to farm. But freedom to farm is not freedom to pollute. That's what we need more Republicans to say at the local and the state level and the voters as well. And if they can't be bothered to do that, if there is no limit to the pollution that comes in, well then, you know, we're lost. We may as well just bottle in water every place. Tom, I don't know if you're still there, but I hope I didn't hijack your point too terribly much. Where that last line of defense is.
No, that's exactly correct. And again, it goes back to big money in politics. And unfortunately, that's gotten down to the rural area, to the school boards, to all of this. I would love to see, if they're going to continue to have big money in politics, that we actually have some rules around truth and advertising. And, you know, myself as a small business owner, I can't go and make claims. I know in the public square, it's a little bit different, especially with politicians, but there's got to be some type of rules in terms of blatant lying about like the women that were on before. There's got to be some rules around truth and advertising, or truth period, where you're getting into libel and slander, especially with the, you know, reputations of the women that were on before as well. This is just really getting ridiculous. And the family farms out there that were there forever, I know what's happening is CAFOs are coming in and offering them an exuberant amount of money to get out of the family farming and become more of a CAFO type operation. And I hope that the people in the small towns of Wisconsin and, you know, all those people have the integrity not to just be bought by the highest bidder to sell out, you know, the future of your children and grandchildren's livelihood. I don't know what the answer is, honestly. My grandpa was a farmer in Boyceville, and I come from some farming families, even though we lived in Durand. But there's got to be an answer to all of this, and I hope that people kind of, you know, check their conscience or something. Or they start getting into solar and wind and some of the other types of farming as well.
Sure. Well, that's definitely a route as well, Tom. Thank you so much. Hope you have a great day. Here's an interesting point about that. I don't want to say it's inevitable that all family farms go away, but the comparison I make is grocery stores. I grew up in a neighborhood where there was a market on not every street corner, but on many street corners. And eventually we got to the point where now we just have a few superstores. There are still rules about price gouging and competition and what have you. The same is going to be said for farming. Again, that same trend of there were lots of small ones, now there's some bigger ones. There need to be those rules, not just so that the water stays clean, but so that the people who work there, whether it's somebody who's the oldest of six kids before they get on a school bus, or immigrant laborers who aren't sure if the police are going to show up at some point and have them deported. We need a better system around all of that. to make sure that these operations basically still do Wisconsin proud, that it's someplace that people can work hard and make a living, not be taken advantage of, and where our natural resources aren't taken advantage of either, so that we can continue to be part of that agricultural sector that feeds the world. Chad Holmes is going to join us next, and we'll talk about a few more topics before we wrap up this day's conversation for a Tuesday. This is Up North News Radio. Some music that tells us Chad Holmes is sneaking up on us here. Yeah, he appears on Bull Falls Radio out of Wausau. When this show, Up North News Radio, started originally on Bull Falls Radio, I had only one goal, really. Well, apart from growing the show and becoming a media mogul and everything else. But my local goal was to be the favorite radio show of Wausau Mayor Katie Rosenberg. So you can imagine my disappointment when Chad Holmes puts up a note that Mayor Rosenberg is joining her yesterday or the day before. And she not only retweets it, but retweets it with his show logo, which features a kind of a cartoon silhouette of Chad, with the tweet, "I want a Chad Holmes show sticker." Congratulations, Chad. You're the winner. You have won Mayor Rosenberg. I concede. And now I need a Chad Holmes show sticker too.
I don't mean to ruin your day even further to start things off here on a Tuesday, but I don't know if you caught last night, later on after we talked to Mayor Rosenberg, she put out on Twitter that her mom really loves the show. And I retweeted that out. So you check out my Twitter account. And not only does Mayor Rosenberg enjoy my show, even better, her mom loves the show.
I'm going to at least assume that the both of them voted for me 10 years ago when I was on the ballot out there. So I'll always have that. I think they supported me back then. But in terms of the radio show, if I've got to come in second to you, okay, probably third after Kristen Bry and everyone. Anyway, wherever I come in, if it's to you, I'm good with that. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, Pat?
I'm doing well, thanks. So Chad will be up 2 to 4 this afternoon on some or many of these fine civic media stations. And before we get much into your show and other Wisconsin things, I mentioned at the very top of the show, and I hadn't hit it yet, the special election for the U.S. Senate is in Georgia today. And, you know, Chad, it's just amazing how Republicans allowed Trump to force them to shoot themselves in the foot, that by trashing the notion of voting by mail, by trashing the notion of early voting, again, it's like that, you know, you can't unilaterally disarm. If you do, as Republicans did, you see this huge early vote push by Democrats supporting Raphael Warnock. And now Herschel Walker has a big hill to climb on election day only voting. And oh, by the way, I hear that it's going to rain in many parts of Georgia, which is going to keep people from voting. So great strategy, GOP. Nice to see that pay off for you.
And also, Reverend Warnock knows how to do this. I was reading an article last night about this, is that, you know, Herschel Walker is running the old-fashioned get out the vote on election day campaign, which is very quaint in this era, and talking about in the article about how when Reverend Warnock's been campaigning over the last, you know, 3, 4, 5 days, he would always ask, well, who's voted already, and everybody would be up already, everybody's already said they're voting early. So he's proven that he knows how to do this in winning a couple of years ago, and it looks like he's using the same playbook here today. But the idea that Herschel Walker would be running a smart campaign in any way is kind of
oh my goodness. I didn't watch Saturday Night Live until last night. We DVR it, and then we watch it on a Monday night normally. And you know, the opening skit was about Herschel Walker, and I mean, it's not that the skit wasn't funny, it's just that it's at the point where you can't really make anything funnier than what he's already saying. And again, I feel pity if nothing else that Republicans put him in this position.
I don't know if I feel pity for him, because the man has been blessed in so many ways. Mm-hmm. And yet, and that's one thing I don't understand about some of these candidates, because what is Herschel Walker running for? Even going back to here, what was Tim Michaels running for? I don't understand a lot of these folks who have fantastic lives. Tim Michaels was running a company. He's got many houses all over the country. And yet he wanted to run for governor. I never really understood why he wanted to run for governor. And I don't understand why ultimately Herschel Walker does, except to be as a tool of the National Republican Party, as somebody that will vote exactly how they tell him to vote each and every time. I don't see Herschel Walker being the type of representative of the people that's going to be there for constituent services. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are certain basics when you run for office, and as you well know, that you need to fulfill. It's not there just to be there to vote for the party. And so at the same time, Herschel Walker did not have this need to run for the United States Senate. So anything that happens, I really don't feel much sympathy for him or people like him.
No, you're right. And I do. I want to take back that expression of pity, because that was from the political position that he's in, but his own record of violence, threats of violence, abortion, hypocrisy, make him anything but a figure to be pitied.
And a man from Texas as well, as we continue. A guy from Texas,
again, the Tim Michaels syndrome. Like, well, I'm not from here, but I think I can be a leader here, you know, for, again, for whatever reason that was. Another news note was that Kirstie Alley passed away, somewhat surprisingly, after a brief battle with cancer at age 71. And I'm in the middle right now of reading Charles Burroughs' autobiography. And if anybody watched Cheers, you know that it was Charles Burroughs, Charles were the executive producers. And I just finished the section on Cheers and creating it, and, you know, how they had to survive when Shelley Long left and Kirstie Alley, who was an unknown, came in. And I mean, she was quite a force for a while there on the acting scene. But I don't know if Cheers was in your wheelhouse back in the day.
I did enjoy Cheers. I've enjoyed Cheers even in the reruns over the years. I do think that the Shelley Long years were the best years. Mm-hmm. Actually, for Kirstie Alley, my favorite role of hers was on Star Trek 2.
Yes, yes.
I mean, she played a Vulcan in Star Trek 2, and that was her, I thought, the best role. And I thought one of her main mistakes was not returning to that role when she had an opportunity later in the franchise.
Yeah. 1982's Wrath of Khan. So again, rest in peace to Kirstie Alley. And what else do you have coming up on your 2 to 4 show you want to tell us about?
Well, today's actually interesting. I'm going to be sort of running back. Today's a kind of a big day because I'm a member of a committee for the Win Brockmeyer Award, which is the award that is named in honor of the famous Wausau High School football coach. It goes to the top senior football player in the Wausau area. And Wausau West, Newman Catholic, Wausau East, and DC Everest all nominate their top senior. And we have a committee meeting over at the Community Foundation of Wausau, and the Community Foundation of Community Foundation of Marathon County puts out this award. So going to talk a little bit about the Community Foundation and what they do, and also in terms of this award, because I think it's a really vital award. It's a great honor for these. It's not only their football, but it's also what they do off the field as well. So it's very interesting.
Awesome. Okay, looking forward to hearing about that. Good. Thanks for visiting with us. Appreciate it, Chad. Have a great day.
You too, Pat.
Catch Chad 2 to 4 on many of these civic media stations. All right, that's it for me today. Up next, Earl Ingram in Waukesha, Stephanie Miller in Madison, Todd Alba for everyone else along the Civic Media Radio Network. You can follow me at Facebook at Pat Kreitlow Up North or Pat Kreitlow on Twitter, and of course, Up North News WI. Have a great Tuesday. We'll see you tomorrow.